This is the Rich Dad Radio Show, the good news and bad news about money. Here's Robert Kiyosaki.
Hello, 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 Robert Kiyosaki, the Rich Dad Radio Show, the good news and bad news about this here. This is cash and this trash. So today we're going to be talking about the hottest subject on the market today, and it's not real estate. What it is here is this is gold, and this is silver, and of course there's Bitcoin. So those are the three things. And the reason that the hottest subjects on the earth right now is because our money is fake. So this is one of my favorite books here, Fake. I'll tell you a quick story before we get into why gold, silver, and Bitcoin is that I was at Safeway, and this I'm kind of a guru at the salad counter at Safeway, and all the women were coming up to me going, "Hey, what should we invest in? And I just happened to have in my pocket here, this is a pre-64 U.S. quarter. And it's given to me by my friend Daniel Samuelson of, he's in Austin, Texas. He's American Gold Exchange in Austin, Texas, Dana Samuelson. So he knows I'm a silver nut. So this is a pre-64, and pre-64 means it's silver. After 64, it became fake money. It became this here. So I held this up here to the ladies. They won the hottest tip. I said, buy this here. They went, oh, a quarter? I can afford a quarter. I said, yeah, but I'll charge you $3 for it. And you should have seen their brains. You know, the salad was flying all over the place and all this. Why are you charging me $3? I said, okay, I'll tell you what, $2. They were screaming, not screaming, but just, why would I pay you $2 for a quarter? And I said, but this is pre-64. They just could not figure it out. Now, that's the lesson of today, is that people don't know that our money is fake. And that's why Rich Dad exists and all this. But the sad thing about it is that AARP turned down my article because I wrote a story of my mother. I used to save real quarters because when I was 17 years old, in 64, I saw the quarter go to copper. You know, it was fake. It was an alloy. So I started collecting dimes and then quarters and half dollars. I had this big bag of real silver. And my mother says, what are you doing? I said, this is real money. So this is 64. 65, I go to school in New York. 66, I come home. My mother spent it all. And so I wrote the story for AARP. They turned it down. I said, the lesson is poor people are poor because they don't know fake money. They don't know the difference between real money and fake money. So this is a very important lesson here. I have some two friends here for years. And like I said, Dana Samuelson of American Gold Exchange in Austin, Texas. This is a special category of silver. It's called numismatic. And numismatic means collectible and antique. And the reason I respect Dana is because he was head of the American Numismatics. So I don't buy numismatics. I don't buy collectible coins. I buy real gold silver. But if I want numismatic, you know, like an antique Dodge or something, whatever it is, if I want an antique coin, I see Dana, because there's a lot of fakes out there, a lot of fake coins. So you got to be very careful today. But like I said, this is the hottest subject off. I have two great friends here. So Jim, and this is Charles Goyette here. This is his book here, Red and Blue and Broke All Over. And, you know, it's so Jim, how long have you been in this business of gold?
50 years.
50 years. Our time is coming on this one, isn't it?
Well, I thought it was coming in 1973 when I got into business. And it was just a year and a half or so after Nixon had removed the gold. And
yeah, this
we got went off the gold standard.
The dollar was backed by this here. This is real gold. So in 1971, this was pulled out too, right?
Right.
Because you just print as much as you like.
It was no longer backed by anything. It was a, Federal Reserve note, which is no more federal than Federal Express. And we were required to take that as money, whether we liked it or not.
Right, right. Another thing, too, I was in Vietnam in 71. I was on my way over. 72, I was there. In 73, I returned, and I bought my first gold coin. It was a South African Kruger Rand. And the Vietnamese woman, you know, was gold was $35 for years. And then in 71, it floated to about 50, let's say. And so I thought, well, I go talk to her. She was behind enemy lines. I flew my helicopter in there, tried to negotiate with her. I said, look, I'll give you 40 of these for one of these. And she's going, spot. I go, let me say it again. 40 of these for one of these. She goes, spot. I said, what the hell is she talking about? Well, she was saying spot that day was 50. And all of a sudden here, I'm a college graduate, you know, hopefully, with my other college graduate, two pilots standing there going, we don't know shit about money, do we? You know, so spot me on that day, it was 50 bucks. And I thought because she was behind enemy lines, I could get it for 40. No such deal. Gold is gold, spot is spot, silver is silver. This is real money. So Mr. Goyette, Charles, why did you write this? Tell us about your background, but why did you write this book here?
Well, one thing is Jim and I were in the business together a very long time ago that he was talking about, but you just reminded me about spot. I remember seeing a National Geographic special. This is back in the 70s, and they went to these guys, these kind of like third worlders in the Amazon rainforest, way deep in the jungle. And these people didn't have any clothes, didn't have any electricity, didn't have, you know, but they were panning for gold there.
The
camera crew came up and tried to buy their gold, and they knew what the London gold fix was that day.
I know.
They totally knew what the world price of gold was, spot price of gold, because it's international, it's all over the world, and it's a real price for real money, isn't it?
Yeah, the sad thing about it is I think Americans are the least that know about money.
Yeah.
Because we are the Federal Reserve. No, I'll tell you one last story. I was in Peru. I bought a gold mine in Peru. And there was these holes going up. It's, you know, there's no rain. There's just barren hills, you know, mountains. I was in the Andes. And I see these little holes up there. I go, what the hell is that, you know? And my little Inca guide says, we've been drilling for oil here for thousands of years, asshole. I said, I'm not the first guy up here. No, you're not the first guy up here. My great, 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 great. Grandfather's been yanking this stuff out for years.
Yeah.
And that's what Pizarro came to Peru and killed them all, took their gold.
Stole their gold, yeah.
Right. And so that's where the Spanish became the empire of the time. So it went from Spain, England, America. America's gone now. So that's what we're here to talk about today is, and we're old enough, the three of us, to understand that this here is real and this here is fake. But the most people would rather have this. This is the problem.
Robert, I saw one of those YouTube videos where the guy's on the boardwalk in Santa Monica. It's kind of like jaywalking, you know, like what's the name of the moon? The moon. You know? But he's walking around with a chocolate bar and a silver coin. And he says to the people, he said, would you rather have this chocolate bar? Or I think it was a silver bar.
A silver bar. It was Mark Dice.
Yeah. And the people go, no, I'll take that chocolate bar. So I get a $2 chocolate bar, you know, or
a 10-ounce silver bar.
Yeah, 10-ounce silver bar, $300 worth of silver.
And they'd rather have the chocolate bar than the silver bar.
They know no better. It's jaywalking America.
Yeah. And I'll say this again. It's the most important lesson. Poor people don't know the difference between real money and fake money. And that is what it comes down to. So it was in 71, you know, this used to be a silver certificate. Now it's a Federal Reserve IOU. It used to be backed by gold up to, no, this was 64, it was silver. And then in 71, Nixon took the gold out of it. Johnson took this out of the silver certificate.
Yeah, I remember I was telling you that story the other night. I remember in 1964, where we're sitting around the TV, Johnson came on and said, silver has become too valuable to be used as money. And just as I'm sitting here, my dad said, that son of a bitch. They're going to take the silver out, and they're going to leave us this garbage coin.
Yeah.
And he didn't really understand it, but he got it. And from that point on, he saved silver coins to where he had about $8,000 worth by the time he cashed him in 1980.
Yeah. And I was in South Carolina where I have a home. And this guy said that his father ran the theater. And his father said they're just yanking out all the silver coins. The lesson, again, is poor people don't know the difference between real money and fake money. And that's why in Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I said the rich don't work for money because it's fake. So, you know, the reason I like to have Jim here and Charles is because this stuff is getting harder to find right now. And I was panicking because I deal with a lot of guys who have gold and silver. And so I called my friends. We cannot get silver. I went, what? This is about, 7-8 months ago. We couldn't get silver. So you guys are Republic Monetary Exchange. Yeah, on Camelback. And I called these guys. Yeah, we got plenty.
Jim has been very, very good over the years at making sure that the inventories are high. You know, he could see when these runs are starting and stuff, and the premiums are starting to go up and stuff. And he's always put his clients first. You know, he makes sure, okay, we're going to commit a lot of capital to make sure that our clients can come in the door and get their gold and silver. Yeah. You know, the worst thing in the world is, you know, these companies that say, well, give us your money now. And then, you know, we're going to deliver your gold or we'll send you your silver in 6 months or something. Don't do that. So Jim's just really created a name for himself and his ability to always deliver to his clients.
Well, I've always stayed ahead of the curve that you can anticipate needs after 50 years in the business.
Well, not everybody can because I was panicking. I was going, you know, because... Explain the difference. Okay, well, step back. You have the spot price. So let's say today the spot's $20. There's a premium on top of this coin, or this coin, should I say. What does the spot and the premium mean?
On that particular coin, it's typically between $4 and $5 an ounce over the spot price.
So spot is the price all across the world.
Right. And then all of the products and coins and bars and so forth, they will be priced accordingly
to demand.
Based on the availability, the demand, the cost of refining and putting them in the coins and shipping and distributor markup, dealer markup, our markup and all that. So there's always a premium that you pay to get the finished product.
That's like the tip at the end of the dinner. Yeah. I was watching.
It was worse than that.
Yeah. I was watching Fox News this morning, Fox Business, and they were bitching about how she went, where did she go? She went to the dry cleaners, and she put it on a credit card for her dry cleaning. It's a tip, 20%. She goes, why do I have to tip you for my dry cleaning? People are so desperate to money because this is fake.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
Well, and because they can print it so much that the value is dropping every day. They print up billions every day. Look at the bills that they signed off a $1.7 trillion. Where's that money coming from? Well, they've got to print it, or they've got to create something through a keystroke entry. That means all the rest of those Federal Reserve notes out there become worth just that much less every day.
Yeah, this is trash. So I'll say it again, you know, the difference between rich people and poor people, rich people know the difference between this and this. And so the Republic Monetary Exchange, there's a lot of people out there. Dana Samuelson, my friend, is my expert in numismatic. And I was impressed because you guys had inventory. My other friend, Jerry Williams, was out. And I said, what the hell? This is a while ago. What the hell's going on? It was running. So it must mean people are, there's something going on because people would rather have this than this now, except for the ladies at Safeway.
But they know now.
I don't know. It fried their brains. I said, why would I give you $2 for that? And I said, that's the riddle of the day, ladies. And they're laughing. We had a great time, you know. But it fried their brains. I said, what? And I said, I have a book here for you. It's called Fake. And this whole system is fake right now. So we come back, we go going more into how people lie, cheat, and steal because, you know, anytime there's money, there's liar, cheater, and stealer around there. And I've been saying this for years, this is God's money. This is fake money. I like Bitcoin. I call it people's money. Now, I don't know much about Bitcoin, but I'm just glad I bought it at six. That's all I know right now. So we come back, we're going more how you can know real money from fake money, some of the other advantages of right now. I've been saying this for years. I used to work for Lear, still have Lear Capital ads. I said, buy silver. And the reason is everybody can afford this. I think this is about $30. How much is this today?
Just under $30 for one of those, yeah.
Everybody in the world can afford $30, but they'd rather have this. And that's today's Rich Dad lesson. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Robert Kiyosaki, the Rich Dad Radio Show, the good news about bad news about fake money. And again, we're talking about this stuff is fake. And this is real money. We have friends, dear friends, this is Jim Clark from Republic Monetary in here in Phoenix, Arizona, and Charles Goyette. Here's his book, Red, White, and Blue, and Purple All Over, and we're going broke. And so you guys have been in the business for a while. I've been in the business 72, my first gold coin. I still have that gold coin.
Wow.
It's not stored in America, though. It's stored someplace else.
Where is that?
You don't have to tell. I'm gonna open my blubber mouth on TV. That's like my attorney stands in front of this crowd. He says, "Yeah, I have a lot of gold. I keep it at home." I said, "Well, why don't you just tell everybody where to go? Why don't you just give them your address too?" Attorneys aren't the brightest guys on earth.
Well, I have strangers that will ask me, "Now, where should I store this?" I said, "I don't know, and I don't care."
Yeah, well, don't tell me.
So the FBI goes, "Did you know?" Well, so Jim, tell us about what you have right here. You have silver and you have gold.
So I have a kilogram of silver, which is 32.15 ounces, and then I have a 10-ounce gold bar. And of course, when you see something that big, how do I know that's real? So we have a device. It's a spectrometer that we can put that X-rays the bar. And I've got it all set up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to point the device at the silver, and I'm going to get a reading. Put it on there maybe 4 or 5 seconds. It will read right into the bar. It'll come back. And if you can pick that up, right on the screen, it says AG, which is the chemical sign for silver, 99.99% pure. You know that this bar is absolute.
Is there such a thing as fake silver?
They caught some not too long ago. There were some companies years ago that were making silver and gold, and it wasn't coming out exactly pure. And what happens then is if we find that, we just throw it in the melting pot and then bring it up to pure, because you don't want to sell a bar that's 94-95% pure. So it's out there, which is why we spent $20,000 on this piece of equipment that we can count. We can find a counterfeit bar. If it's not pure gold, we know right then. And this has paid for itself many times over, because so many times somebody will come in and say, "Well, hey, I've got this big block of gold and I want to sell it." Okay, let's have a look at it. You go through it, it's pyrite or it's copper or it's zinc.
Jim Rackers was telling in the New York Bank, he says they found some fake silver. Mm-hmm.
The bigger the bar, the better chance that there is. So I'm going to do the same thing with this gold, just because that's really the valuable one. A $20,000 piece of metal, you want to make sure that it's what it's supposed to be. Same thing. We come up. AU, gold, 99.99% pure, which is exactly what it's supposed to be.
So this is January 2023. What would this cost me if I walked into your place, Republic Monetary Exchange? On Camelback Road in Phoenix, please. Arizona. What would that cost me?
Just over $900 for that kilogram. Yeah.
My God, and how much is this thing here?
That's going to be around $2,050 or more.
You get the, you know, this is 2000. This is a gold. What is it?
Eagle. American Gold Eagle.
And that's 900.
Right. That's a kilogram of silver. This is going to be close to $20,000 for this gold.
What is that now?
10 ounces of gold.
That feels like real money, doesn't it, Robert?
I trade you this for this.
Would you do that? we'll get 20,000 more of those and we'll do it.
You're a little light.
Actually, you know, on that subject, we were talking about this the other night, Robert, about cash for gold. I'm one of the few people who absolutely despise cash for buying gold. And you'd think just the opposite, that I couldn't wait to get cash. But banks don't want it. Try and deposit $20,000 or $50,000 in cash. They'll turn you away and say, well, we got to do this, that, and the other, and we've got to file this form, and we got to do that. Hey, I would rather have a bank wire than cash anytime.
You know, Jim's story really illustrates something.
But he doesn't want cash. And I thought the reason is because it might be dirty, or, you know, it's hot money or whatever it is. It's just a pain in the butt.
Well, it's that. But you know what else? I'm thinking down the road. Let's say I acquire $1 million or $2 million in cash that the banks don't want to take. When this currency is repudiated, I'm going to be stuck. Just like the people in Germany were twice in the 20th century, that they were hauling wheelbarrows full of Deutschmarks for a basket of groceries.
And fake money brought Hitler to power. The Weimar Republic and the right. Reichsmark and all this. Every time there's fake money, tyrants rise up, because people know something is wrong.
Yep. So here we go in this country.
Right.
You know, but Jim's attitude now about cash is really illustrates that the government, the deep state, has won this war without legislation, without public debate. They have won the war against cash. You know, they've been at war at cash because it's anonymous, that they don't track you, they can't follow you when you use cash, and they've won the war.
Yeah.
And so the only alternative people have to be off the grid, not to be tracked, not to be surveilled, gold and silver. That's it. That's all.
So once again, this is 1964. In 1964, I was 17 years old. I started looking at the thing like this. It was copper. The Romans did the same thing way back in the end of their empire. So what were they doing when they put copper in this thing? The law called Gresham's Law. Well, what does Gresham's Law mean?
Bad money drives good money out of circulation.
So this money went into hiding. So I had bags of it. I used to go caddy, take my dollars, go to the bank, and pull out all the real stuff and hide the real stuff. I didn't know what I was doing. I was 17 years old. You know, I wasn't the brightest kid on the block. But I just knew this was fake. I mean, this was fake now. And then I come back from school a year later, and my mother spent it. So the lesson is, that was a powerful lesson. AARP turned it down. They says, you're cruel to your mom. And I went, so okay. I said, anyway, is poor people don't know real money from fake money. So that's why we have Sarah here. So what happened in 71, this became debt. So I'm in our company at Rich Dad. We encourage people to use debt. You know, this is my other friend here. He's a financial planner who doesn't recommend the 401k. John McGregor says the top 10 reasons why the rich go broke, and one of the reasons they go broke is they don't have a plan for their money, but they have no idea what money is.
Well, and I've talked to people all the time that are multimillionaires. They sold their business. They did this, that, and the other, and it came into all this cash that's sitting in the bank. And I said, well, you think I should buy some gold with some of this? I said, well, you know what they're doing with the dollar. You know that they keep printing them. They can't print gold. Now, you tell me how much you can afford to lose of all that money sitting in the bank, and I would say leave that there and get the rest of it in gold. It's a bigger risk having paper money.
It's a guaranteed loss.
And eventually, these are going to be worthless. And we're in the 51st year of fiat money when Nixon closed the gold window. A currency has never lasted more than 50 years until now, and we're in year 51. How are we any different than anywhere else in the world?
71.
Somebody, how are we any different? Look what they've done in Venezuela. They were one of the richest countries in South America and in actually the Western Hemisphere. Look what they've done to Argentina. Look what they've done in Cuba. Look what they've done in Mexico. The same exact economic principles that they broke there. We're doing the same thing here.
Somebody asked me once, how many paper currencies have gone broke, have gone worthless over time? And the answer is all of them.
All of them.
And the ones that people still hold are only on their way. They just haven't arrived at their final destination yet.
It's like I'm 17 years old in 1964 going, something's wrong here. And that's Gresham's Law. And I think that's one of the reasons I'm a rich person is I know real from fake. And then so when Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard in 71, I didn't really know what that meant. But the first course, I was in Vietnam in 73. I came back. 74, they made this legal. Remember that? It was illegal. So I had to smuggle that damn Kruger. I was in Hong Kong and they bought him a Kruger Rand, South African Kruger Rand in Hong Kong. I had to smuggle it into the country. Why was that?
It was in 74.
Yeah,
because it was illegal to own in bullion form. And
well, in 73, I brought it in.
It was a felony. It was a felony. They could put you in prison for 10 years and charge you a $10,000 fine. They made it a felony for Americans, free people, to own monetary gold and silver.
Yeah.
Or gold, anyway. It was a felony. Was it dangerous? Was it going to blow up? Was it nuclear contamination? Was it kill your neighbors with poison? What was wrong? Well, it was, of course, you know the answer. It's always the same answer. The government grabs all the gold because it wants it for itself, so you can't be allowed to have any. It's exactly what they did.
At that time, there were two very good senators, Steve Sims and Jesse Helms, who introduced the idea of Americans owning gold because foreigners could own gold and Americans couldn't. And if there's anything to be said good about Gerald Ford, it was that he signed the bill after it passed through both houses to make gold legal to own. Now, unfortunately, at the time, gold was around $200 an ounce, and over the next year and a half or so, it dropped to 100. So a lot of the curiosity of owning gold disappeared. But fast forward to the Jimmy Carter days, 1976, gold went to 100, and by the end of Carter's term, it was 850. And silver went from about $3 an ounce to $50 an ounce in that four-year period.
So during Carter's run, this was $850. What is this today?
2050.
So why would you save this trash? that's what I'm saying here.
It's fake. How about that to sum it up? That's fake.
It's a trick.
Other thing I want to say, because I'm a history buff, that's about the only subject I did well in school. The reason he doesn't even like the 401k is in 1974 when Ford put us back on, we could own gold. They put us onto 401k, ERISA Act. And today, this is the biggest reason you want to own gold, because our pensions, you know, as we keep raising interest rates, our 401ks are going down. But not only this, is my book wrote with Ed Sedell, is our pensions are broke. So as the firefighters, police officers, school teachers, their pensions are gone. So the Fed's going to have to print. That's my whole summation.
Well, and what's crazy about it, too, is that you get your statement online every month, and it says, oh, my God, look, I have $500,000 in my pension plan. Boy, that's going to last me until the year 2050. It's not going to. The dollar's not going to be there, first of all, and the pensions are gone, too. But gold will be there forever.
This is God's money. I mean, we used to have money for about 5,000 years. But God put it here on the earth, and that's when I was in the Andes with my old Inca friend. I said, geez, look at those holes. He says, yeah, we've been digging for a long, longer than you have, you know. And I was in Mongolia, same thing. There's a place called the checkerboard. They call it the checkerboard because the Mongolians, this is thousands of years ago, were digging for gold. Now, they didn't have internet. They didn't have iPhones and all this stuff. Humans intuitively knew to look for gold. That's what blew me away.
Well, and when you think about
except for the women's at Safeway, they don't know gold from silver.
We need a salad bar guru.
When you read the stories about all the Spanish ships that have sunk over the years coming across the Atlantic, and the explorers go down there, they're not going down there looking for the currency of the realm of the day and see if the paper survived. They're going down there looking for the gold. They're going there looking for the silver. And they find it. And what's amazing is that if this bar had been in the bottom of the ocean for 500 years, it'll still be in this pristine condition.
Right.
It doesn't rust. It doesn't erode. It will do the same thing now, 500 years later. And they've brought some amazing coins that have been in the Spanish ships that were in pristine condition that have graded out, uncirculated, like it was the day that it came out of the mint.
What's that joke? The guy, who's the guy? Said, and the Fed...
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul. He says the difference between if a Spanish ship went down with gold, a Spanish ship went down with dollars, people would stop diving for dollars. You know? They still dive for gold. And it's kind of a funny thing, but it's sad. But another thing too is I had a pile of extra silver I bought from you, and I was handing them out as Christmas gifts. You know, it's 25, 30 bucks, let's say. And so one woman had four kids. I said, give each one of your children one of them, you know, one silver coin. She said, well, but I said, it'll be there when they graduate from high school. No, they'll probably spend it. I said, yeah, they probably will. But that's the problem. I'd rather I save this. I say, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, savers are losers because they save this. If you save this, or if you save this, what is this here?
$30?
Yeah, well, what
silver, kind of? It's a silver round, just a generic silver.
One ounce silver.
It's a buffalo.
Yeah.
So I call up Jim and I want buffaloes. You know, so he knows what I'm talking about. It's the different goofy kind of coins out there. But I'd rather save this because this will be here 10,000 years from now. This won't. You know, you can pass it on for generation to generation to generation.
I'll be surprised if that paper dollar is here even 10 years from now.
I doubt it, yeah. So anyway, we're in very serious, serious trouble here. And this is the hottest subject going. For years I've been saying buy silver because everybody can afford silver. You know, when I offered them this for $3, they went, well, that's the one. Why would I buy that? Because I'd rather have this. That's the lesson. Final words there, Mr. Jim.
Well, we sure appreciate all you do for the freedom movement, Robert. And speaking about gold and speaking about the fake money that we're passing around, it's a great lesson for the next generation. And whether we realize it or not, at our age and doing all this for 50 years or more, we've got a great legacy to pass on to the next generation because they just don't know. And you are a patriot in the true sense of the word, sir. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Robert, let me ditto that too, because we're in for some really rough sledding in this country. There's some rough patch of road ahead, and it didn't have to happen, and now it's going to happen. And as bad as it's going to be, for the people who understand the lessons that you've been doing in your educational efforts and teaching them about money, the ones that take action based on those kinds of recommendations and that learn about this stuff, they will be so much better off. And the more of them there are, the better off we'll all be. Correct. Because maybe we can have some kind of commerce still continue when the whole thing goes topsy-turvy. So thank you. Thank you, Robert.
That's shame. Bad. I mean, how many of the layoffs are just starting right now? This is January 2023.
10,000 at a crack by these companies. 10,000 here, 10,000 there.
Because they're working for this.
Yeah. And this is horrible stuff. These are people that are living paycheck to paycheck like we've never seen before, and their personal debt has never been so high as it is right now.
It's a disaster.
And there's now called a working homeless. They have jobs, but they can't afford to live.
Sleeping in their cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's because this is fake.
Yep. Well, we have a lot more information on our website, by the way.
Right. Robert. The reason I invited you guys, because you actually do teach. You know, if you were just promoting your company, you wouldn't be here. So what is the book you have, and what is your website?
Okay. The website is rmegold.com.
And dot, boy, is
dot,
it
dot what
com dot com, dot yeah. com. And then my
I thought you said dot gov. I was going, I didn't know you were Fed.
And my book is Real Money for Free People: The American Gold Story.
You know, in fact, people that are in the Phoenix area can stop by. Jim will sign a copy of the book and give it to him. But his book is a really good book, and there's a ton of information on the website too to bring people up to speed to learn the lessons that you teach, like the lessons about fake. And we have a new post going up, for example, about your book about pensions. Because it's so important right now, especially now the Congressional Budget Office just announced that Social Security's finished at 2033.
Yeah. And the reason I wrote this book was because in 74, that's why McGregor wrote this book here. That was a 401k, but that's when the pensions started getting looted. And now it's our generation, the boomer generation's in serious trouble for retirement. You know, because I don't think it's going to be there.
The American people lost 26% in their 401ks in the last year through October, so it's very grim.
And that doesn't even take into consideration the appreciating dollar to go with it, too.
So, okay, what's your website again?
rmegold.com.
RME. And then your book here is Charles Goyette, Red and Blue,
red and blue and broke all over, restoring America's free economy.
You're an optimist, aren't you?
My publisher said, write that book about how to put it back together. I said, you know they're not going to do that.
No.
You know, and they're not, but it's there anyway.
They're going to keep printing this because this gets more valuable.
We're beyond the point of no return.
Yeah.
The sad thing about it is, as the price of gold goes up, everybody else gets poorer. That's just, that's what breaks my heart. I love those girls at Safeway serving me their salad and coleslaw and all this, and it just blew their minds. I said, $2 for this? But that's what America has sold its people. It's sold the world there. That this is valuable and this is fake.
Yeah.
This is real. This is fake.
I'll give you $2 for it, Robert, right now.
I know you would. That's why I'm kind of keeping it tight here. Here's my silver, the Lone Ranger had the silver bullet. This is my silver bullet from Dana Samuelson. Bite the bullet, you know. So thank you, gentlemen. Thanks for being teachers. And they have inventory. When things are really tough, I was scrambling because—
We were never without anything.
I'll tell you why I was panicking. If I waited a few more days, the price would go up.
Yeah.
And then when I ran in there, and then you guys, not you guys, but my other friend couldn't deliver me silver. I said, what am I going to do? So I bought it that day anyway for future delivery. So it was a gamble. So, you know, basically a futures delivery.
Right, yeah.
But anyway—
Sounds like you did all right.
Yeah. But two last things, okay? There's a thing called distribution and accumulation. Price of gold, silver is low, and silver and gold or oil, I'm accumulating. I've been accumulating since 72. I own more gold than most people, most of the gurus on TV. I own gold mines, silver mines, because I believe in this stuff, because this is God's money. This is fake money. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Rob.
Pleasure to be here.
And when we come back, Sarah will be back with a final word here. So thank you, gentlemen. Welcome back. Robert Kiyosaki, The Rich Dad Radio Show. Thanks to Jim Clark, or Republic Monetary Exchange, RME, and Charles Goyette, Public Monetary Exchange, because this is the hottest subject of all today. It's silver and gold, because this is fake. So, Sarah... and if you have friends and family who are still hoarding this stuff here, have them listen to this program and discuss it with them, because they'll, you know, I'm now called a salad bar guru. And I thought it was hysterical, but it fried their brains. You know what I mean? What's the difference between this and this? One's fake, one's real. So, Sarah, what questions do you have?
Yeah, well, just wanted to mention my... brother, for my niece, that she's 11, he said, no more presents. From now on, we only want you to get her silver. So every year, you know, each sibling gets her some silver coins. And I was like, man, he's so smart. Anyway, I just wanted to point that story out. But my questions to you are, can you briefly discuss the different markings? What does that identify on the bars?
Okay, so this has the size of the bar, which is 1 kilogram. Valcambi is one of the worldwide known refiners. Silver, it has their logo on it. It's been stamped with a serial number and the fineness of 3.999 fine silver. The gold, a little different. It's it lists the number of ounces, and this is 4 9s fine, also with a serial number. And as you saw earlier, we put the spectrometer to it to show that indeed both of those are pure silver and pure gold. And if there's any doubt with anybody buying silver and gold, is it real? We can put the spectrometer to it and show that it is exactly what the purity should be.
Awesome. The second question I have is, Robert had held up his buffalo, and you called it a generic 1 ounce coin.
So the U.S. Treasury and various governments around the world, Canada, South Africa, make a coin of the realm, meaning an American eagle for the United States. So the Treasury makes that coin. The premium is significantly higher for that than it is for this, but it's exactly the same properties, same weight, same size, and everything.
So if this was a silver eagle, but this is, I call this a buff, what's the price difference?
It's going to be about $6-7 an ounce more to have the name brand, but it's silver. So it depends if you, well, I only buy name brand. I won't buy Costco brand of something, but I will buy the real ones that you hear on television all the time, even though it's exactly the same thing. So you get more silver for fewer dollars if you buy it in the Buffaloes or what we call generic, but recognized as being a coin of the realm and something that you can be sure that it's the purity that it's supposed to be. So reputable private refineries make the Buffalo. The U.S. Treasury makes the American Silver Eagle.
Why would somebody pay the difference?
They don't mind. Money's is no object, and they don't mind paying $6 an ounce more, and it's a U.S. Treasury stamped coin. But you get more when you sell it, too.
I bought considerable amounts from Dana in Austin, Texas, and he traded out my gold eagles for regular gold. And I said, why? He goes, I don't know, but he says, you just made a lot of money. So I got instead of having 10 ounces of gold, I now had 15 ounces of gold, but just because one went from eagles to something else. All I want is the ounce of gold. And as long as it's pure, I don't really care. But some people do, right?
Yeah. And it's either one of those, it's all recognized form. So it's personal preference at that point.
That was a big question because, Robert, if you remember back in October, the team made a big silver buy. And right. And that was a big question when we got the price sheet. We were like, why would we pay more? I mean, if it's the exact same thing, but that makes sense. Just a name brand difference.
This is when we couldn't take deliver. We're buying a lot. So we bought it from Andy Scheckman. You know, so it was a lot of silver and gold we bought.
The last question is, in the beginning of the conversation, we had talked about why you didn't want to take cash, and you said it's a hassle. Is it also true because cash is devaluing so fast, it's not really a fair trade? I'm not fair, but, you know, even trade? Do you feel that way at all?
Well, it's cumbersome, and banks typically don't want to take cash, and ironically, they don't want to give cash out either, so we've had situations people wanted to go withdraw $100,000 in cash at the bank. They'll say, come back in 3 or 4 days and we'll accumulate it for you, but we don't have it here. I say, don't even do that. Just wire the money over to us. It just boom, boom, boom. Simple. We don't have to worry about any counterfeit cash, although our machines pick it up anyway. But it's a cumbersome thing to do. But I look at the big picture. Some point down the road, this cash is going to be worthless. And if the banks don't want to take it in deposits, I don't want to be stuck with $2-3 million in cash and then lose that. I would rather have money in the bank, not money, but I mean fake money in the bank that I can buy real silver and gold with and have that on the shelf rather than cash sitting there that is devaluing every day.
Yep. Good. Great. That was it.
Final words, Mr. Goyette.
Hey, thanks for having us on again, Robert.
This is your book here. Plug the book.
One of several, and it's about red and blue and broke all over, and how the country is broke all over, and the exact story you've been trying to explain to people for a very long time, and now here we are.
Another thing we do, Sarah, is I send out a newsletter every week, a blog basically, that gives a synopsis of what's going on the past week and maybe what we're seeing down the road, and just keeping clients and prospects informed of how we see the market. And whether I'm smart or not, it doesn't matter. I've been at this 50 years. I've got a lot of experience and I can share a lot of information that I've acquired over the years. And I encourage people to go to our website, rmegold.com, and you can sign up for the newsletter. There's no charge. We email it out every Sunday afternoon or Monday morning whenever we put the finishing touches on it. I would encourage people to sign up for that at rmegold.com.
And that's why we invited Charles and Jim, because they are educators. Rich Dad. I don't sell this stuff. I do trade occasionally. But anyway, so thank you very much, gentlemen. And thank you all for listening to the Rich Dad Radio Show. Remember, this is fake and this is real. How much is this today?
That's about $5. So they were really cheap when you were saying $2 or $3.
Oh, my God. I was going to get taken by this. The salad bar lady is going to take me.
That's why he said, I'll give you $3 for it.
They were trying to cheat me at Safeway. My God.
You're behind the times, Robert. You forgot how quick this dollar is devaluing.
And they're raising the price of the coleslaw on top of it. So thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.